let's start actually with the spending bill. This $1.4 billion spending bill passed in the House this week. What do you think about it? Are you happy with it?
Well, it was divided into two parts, and part of it was for Homeland Security, Department of Defense, Pentagon, and I did not support that portion of the bill. I thought the Pentagon spending was excessive. It still contains the slush fund called OCO, Overseas Contingency Operations, and other provisions that I disagreed with. There's no reform in that bill regarding ICE or the border, detention of children, which is something we fought hard for earlier this year. I'm very disappointed that wasn't in there, so I voted against that section of the bill. The second section of the bill was domestic spending, I was quite pleasantly surprised how well we did there with medical research for the first time in 20 years, investment in researching gun violence, which had been prohibited by something called the Dickey Amendment, first time we funded that in two decades. There were other good provisions. There's one thing that I worked on for almost 20 years, which is a buyback relief for our fishers on the coast. We had a crisis early in the century with the salmon fishery, and it was decided that we would buy out part of the fleet. There was excessive capacity given the fisheries resource, and for the first time, our fishermen and women were required to fund their own buyback. Others had been sponsored by the federal government. It was the Bush administration. So they agreed. They borrowed the money from the federal government. And then the Commerce Department for 2 years said, well, we lent you the money and we're charging you interest, but we don't know how to take payments. We've never done this before. So they ran up the interest clock on them, $7 million of interest, while prohibiting them from repaying the loan. And now that's compounded up to over $11 million, unfair burden on our fishing folks. And we finally, after almost two decades of effort, got that taken care of in this bill. So, there are a number of good provisions, so I voted for that part of the bill.
With that interest, was it basically forgiven, or how did that get taken care of for the fishery?
Yeah, we are going to forgive the excess, the interest and the compounded interest, and just go back to the original terms of the agreement.
Well, regarding the other deal that happened this week was the new NAFTA, and I understand that you are the only Oregon member of our Oregon delegation who voted against it. Why is that?
Well, that's not unique. I've often stood alone on trade issues on NAFTA, WTO, et cetera. This is better than the Clinton NAFTA. But it is not a model for future agreements, which my leadership was saying. I think the labor enforcements are still weak. The International Association of Machinists opposes it. The AFL supported it kind of tepidly. It will depend upon the president's appointed trade representative filing a labor complaint against Mexico, and the enforcement will still be up to the Mexican government, and they have a long and brutal history of repressing unionization, particularly people who are fighting for real, for higher wages or benefits or protections at work. So I don't think, even though it's better than Clinton's version, I don't think it is optimal. And then it does nothing on the environment. It's virtually identical to the Clinton NAFTA on the environment more than 20 years ago. No consideration of climate change, and no real enforcement of pollution. And many U.S. industries fled over the border to the Mejia area, where they could dump their waste out the back door, poisoning people. There's a horrible incidence of cancer and birth defects in the Mejia area because of all the pollution. And this bill is going to do nothing to clean that up. So I did not and could not in good faith support the bill.
Well, I know that you have another appointment coming up. I want to touch on impeachment. I got to hear your floor speech this week. How do you feel about how that all went, and what are your thoughts about how it's going to go?
Well, you know, the president clearly. I mean, it was just bizarre to watch the Republicans. They didn't refute any of the facts. They didn't refute the fact that the president asked a foreign government to interfere in our elections, you know, a felony offense. You know, they didn't try and dismiss the fact that he bribed them, you know, that he asked, you know, withheld their aid. I mean, a country that's been invaded by Russia. But then again, Vladimir Putin's one of his best friends, so I guess he really doesn't care about that. All they did was, you know, trash the process, say it wasn't fair, president wasn't represented. Well, actually, he was invited to testify. He was invited to send lawyers before the committees, and they said no, and they blocked many meaningful witnesses. I mean, there has never been such an obstruction of Congress and congressional oversight in the history of the nation, and not just regarding Ukraine, regarding everything that's gone on with this administration. I mean, you know, I've been in court with other members of Congress for more than 2 years on the Emoluments Clause, but, you know, the courts act slowly. You know, we've been trying to get his taxes since we took over the House. A number of courts have ruled that Congress has a legitimate function in oversight in enforcing the tax code to see his taxes. He's refused, and that's now going to the Supreme Court. So, you know, obstruction of Congress in every way is a very clear charge, in addition to which Judiciary says that they think that his phone call would also constitute wire fraud and other felony offenses. So clearly impeachable, but the Republicans, and there's quite a number of them here who were here for Clinton, they said, no, lying about sex is impeachable, but undermining national security, violating our election laws, undermining our representative democracy, totally obstructing the role of Congress is not impeachable. It was really actually a pretty sad day.
You are, let's see, we're heading into 2020, and lots of stuff happening, including the presidential election, but also congressional elections. Any thoughts just looking ahead to 2020 for your own, you know, efforts toward reelection and just in general how it's looking?
Well, the Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader, has targeted me since Hillary only won my seat, my district, by 554 votes. So they have targeted me in the general election. They've already invested money in social media, and they just did a joint fundraising with Trump, with their chosen opponent for me, one of the people involved in the Paris train incident, lives in Roseburg. You know, I'm geared up for that much earlier than I gear up for elections usually, because they can invest millions of dollars trying to take back this seat and give it to the Republicans. I've been working hard on that, and then, you know, we got to keep the House. So I've been traveling the country to help you know, a number of the new members who come from Trump districts or marginal districts, to, you know, many of whom I supported in the last election, and I'm working and traveling and raising money to help them get reelected, because they all voted for impeachment, and that's going to put them in a difficult position in Trump districts. And then, of course, the presidency, which is, you know, absolutely vital that we. You know, take the White House back. I think 4 more years of Trump and our representative democracy will no longer exist.